311.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 311 radio show right here on VOB 92.9 FM, where we hear from the Barbados Fire Service, what it is that they're doing, what they would like for us to know, tips, and so much more. I am Crystal J. Paul, and today we have a very special guest I'll introduce in a moment, but I just want to say welcome to Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for joining us once again.
And this afternoon, we have a very, very special guest. I'm going to ask you, Officer, to just introduce the Reverend.
Right. So we have none other than our own chaplain, Reverend Otto, Adrian Otto, who's very versed in his field, let me say. I've had to... had encounters with him on a couple occasions, and normally when I see persons, like if we're at a scene and something happens and they come offering, you know, to I'm going to counsel you, I normally term it as like, you can tell me right now at this point in time, and I might just say, Natasha, just shut up once and listen. And when he started off with a word of prayer, and somehow that captured me. I'm like, normally persons would just come in, they don't invoke the presence of God. I'm like, okay, let me see how this is going to go. So I will say to you that if until he win me over, he got me some sort of special. you will find Chief speaks very highly of him. Anytime any of the officers and persons seem to think that, you know, officers don't go through anything. We just come in, we do our jobs, and then at the end of the day, that is it. But we found that if we have anything that is bothering us, anything that we can't deal with at the point in time, it is him that we normally would turn to get that second opinion, that peace of mind, that voice telling us, you know what, this is what you probably should do, or how do you think you should react towards this, and be mumbo jumbo. Right, Mr. Otto? Not true, but honestly, he is. I would say thank you, Lord, for putting him in the Barbados Fire Service. Thanks for his presence. Thank you so much for working with us. I know sometimes we can be a bit challenging, but what is life before the challenge?
Nothing.
So we have none other than Reverend Adrian Otto.
Good afternoon, Barbados, and to all listeners, good to be here to join with my colleagues and friends in the Barbados Fire Service.
Yes, yes, good to have you. Thank you so much, Reverend Odo. Good to see you as well. Yes. And it's interesting what Officer Ford said, that there are people who think that the fire officers do not have any issues, anything going on. You know, I think with the 311 radio show, it gives that light moment, and you know, it affords a light moment, and you hear the laughter, and you hear some of the things that the fire officers encounter, the different challenges as well. And it's never easy for anybody to have to see charred bodies or anything of the sort and be well in that moment. It's not easy. So you do have to go through counseling. And we did touch on this, not a lot in previous programs, but we did touch on it before. And you did mention that there's counseling and, you know, fire officers go through this and so on. And it's good to be able to chat with the counselor now. So, Reverend Odell, how long have you been chaplain of the Barbados Fire Service?
I think it's about a year plus. I think that the anniversary service had the installation, and so I would say more than 1 year. About that time. But during that time, I have been quite busy, I can assure you.
Yes.
We've had to deal with several issues. I've heard on previous programs where we had deaths in succession, and that would have taken a toll on the officers, you know, having to do with a colleague and friend. So it has been interesting. And then also having to interact with the recruits who were beginning their training in a very peculiar situation, where perhaps they were more confined to the academy than before. So that was interesting, chatting with them, trying to keep them steady and keep your feet on the ground.
That is interesting. And especially having had to grapple with the whole pandemic as well, I'm sure it would have been quite an interesting time to become chaplain. And you did mention the fact that there was there were the deaths in succession. So let's take that situation, for example. How would a chaplain handle a situation such as that? But let me ask Officer Ford first, if you could just remind us, if you can, if it's possible, how quick in succession were these deaths? Because I remember we chatted with the families of those who passed away. Was it in September last year?
Yes, both of them. One was early September, the other one was late September. So it was just like a matter of probably like 2 weeks in between there. Then you had obviously then officers who lost family relatives. So it just seemed like it was just going downhill. You just heard, or the officers, yes, the station officers, then you heard this person's mother passed away. This person lost a father. So it was like, something came over the fire service.
Okay. So Reverend Odell, in a case like that, what would have happened?
Yeah. Okay. Now, death is something that, while we know it comes, when it comes unexpectedly and suddenly, it becomes more traumatic. And so when you are thinking about fire officers who are always on the front line and who are dealing with so many other stress issues, you can imagine what it was like to wake up and hear a colleague has passed or a colleague is likely to pass. So that in itself is traumatic, and that is stressful. So when you have to deal with those situations, usually immediately you have to reach out to the immediate family, which may require sometimes a visit to the hospital if the death takes place at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it may require a visit at the home. And at the home is where you encounter all the emotional, psychological things that go along with death, the pain, the anguish, the crying, and especially if they're children, and you begin to question so many things about life, about faith, religion, God. And then, of course, there are the officers who have worked with these persons and who sometimes responded to death. So what you can imagine, you responding to a situation to discover it's one of your colleagues. That in itself can be a very stressful and traumatic situation. So in these cases, I think one of the first things that any chaplain ought to do or should do is provide the power of presence. And that power of presence reassures the officers and their families that there is someone who is able to empathize with them in this particular situation. And of course, in every situation has to be judged by its own merit. So you cannot come and say, well, Lord, let us pray. You may find persons who may be distressed and you may have to take that person aside. And then after creating a sense of calm, then you may be able to do other things. So it can be an interesting experience in the sense that you don't know what you will see. You don't know how a person will respond to it, but certainly your presence is important. And at that point, you have to be able to quickly assess the situation to see what is taking place psychologically, what is taking place in terms of the dynamics there. Are there colleagues who are certainly torn up from the experience? Are there family members who are really bothered? You have to deal with the immediate, and then you have to deal with the specific issues that may emerge from that situation.
Yes, that is quite interesting. And then to see the results, what do you see happen? What do you see? Do you see happening at that moment in time after that is administered?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to help the family understand the whole process or experience of death. And it may sound mundane, but why do people need to understand that? And there are resources available. For example, we know that there's a writer, Elizabeth Kubler Ross, who talked about the stages of death and dying. And we know that is important because it prepares a person psychologically for the death. So, for example, most persons are in shock. You didn't expect this. Shock sometimes goes into anger. Then your anger could go into a sense of bargaining, you know, well, why would this happen? And then when you go into the bargaining, you come down to the point where you deny it, that it even happened. Is this not true? Is this a dream? So you have your shock, your anger, denial, your bargaining, you know, Lord, it is changed. I will do this, I'll do that. And then slowly you come to the acceptance that this is real. And therefore, you have to deal with it psychologically. So sometimes you have to help walk through the stages with these families and these persons. Some people are stuck at the shock. Some are stuck at the anger. Mm-hmm. And some are stuck at the denial. So it's a getting along the path. Because if they're stuck at those early stages, you can see that the end result can be more traumatic and devastating.
How does a chaplain prepare himself for these situations?
As a chaplain, you must always be prepared.
Mm.
Because you do not know when you'll be called and what you'll be called to. So it is, a chaplain must have the mindset. And the mindset comes from a training and experience. So that even if you're, if example, when we had the experience in Warriness, when we did, right, that was very sad.
Yes.
Well, when I got the call, I was in a meeting. So you had to switch from a meeting mindset into a mindset of tragedy and loss and grief. So as chaplain, you must all be ready. And I think there's a kind of a, you learn there's a kind of a chaplain persona that is probably hidden somewhere in the back of your mind. And when you're ready, perhaps you pull it forward because you have to make the switch. And the switch can come, it's not planned. So you can't say, well, tomorrow night we'll have this. It can be immediate. So like a good scout, the motto should be prepared.
Be prepared, that's true. It's interesting that you mentioned that event because that is the very event, the first event I had in mind when we started talking about this. So you would have been chaplain at that time?
Not officially.
Not officially. Okay.
Not officially.
But he was there on the scene because I remember I was there and that was our very first encounter. Yeah, at that and...
Yeah.
I just didn't want to raise it. But yeah, that was one somber.
Yes, very somber.
Yes.
And so you could understand officers responding to a fire and discovering that there's more than a fire, that there's a loss of life. And you know that we always grieve at a loss of life, but when there are children involved, it evokes even greater empathy and greater sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine that in discovering these persons, what would have happened psychologically. And so when you go to a situation like that, you see officers who will say, well, I don't know. You can see the helplessness. You can see the despair and the despondency. So right away, you have to go in there and say, okay, let's try to get a hold of the situation because our officers are still human beings.
Exactly.
And as human beings, they also have the same emotional experiences as everybody else. They're not immune from those experiences. So it was indeed a sad sight.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the emotional experience from that, I don't think one can really imagine or understand unless you are absolutely there and then truly experience. It
wasn't the time. Wow. So what are some of the other situations, Officer Ford, for which a chaplain may be called upon? Because, I mean, mental health is real, as we've been saying for a while now, especially in this time, in this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the situations? Yes, we just spoke about death within the force, death within the service, sorry, and death. You know, when you have to encounter it on the job. But what are some other cases?
All right. So it doesn't always have to relate to the job. And that's the beautiful thing about having him as our chaplain, even within our own personal lives. just we're members of society. And I think that is what people fail to realize, that because they see us in these big red trucks and they see us with these big yellow suits on, that we automatically become superheroes or superhuman, and we no longer feel or have some of the same challenges that persons in regular society has. Persons may be having difficulty with finances. Persons may be having difficulty with marital problems, depression over a child. I mean, there's a whole host of different things, the same average things that society suffers from. Officers within the Barbados Fire Service, we are human. Again, as I keep saying to people, if you cut me, I'm not going to bleed green. I'm going to bleed red, just like you. My oxygenated blood, that is. It's going to be red just like yours. And there are days when, like anybody else, yes, I'm on this show, you hear me laughing. There are times I have my ups and I have my downs. But I don't think that in a society, in this time, especially with the pandemic, believe you me, it is something that all of us, is a whole different change for everyone. It is not anything that we are accustomed to. And everybody's dealing with it in their own way. Some of us have avenues that we can rely on, and some of us don't have those avenues. And that's where the chaplain comes into play. So it's not just for work, it is also in our personal lives as well. If there's anything, he's there to help us out. He's there to guide us. So again, I mean, as I said, whether it be finances, whether it be family, whether it be, yes, somebody in my home, my mom passed away, my uncle, Lord, I got wood, let me knock on wood, somebody, I am not calling it, but somebody in your family passed away, he is there. It could be, as I say, challenges with your children, you know, you've just lost your job, you don't know how you're going to cope, everything seems to be just raining down on you, and you need someone that you can vent to. And I think that's the problem, when people start to vent, or people recognize that they need to have that medium to go through, to help them to resolve things. Society seems to put this stigma, like, you're crazy, you're mad, you don't know what you're doing. And it is totally unfair at some point in our life. And I'm not afraid to say it, there have been times when things seemed overwhelming. And for some people, they're going to turn to a bottle. That is not my avenue. I prefer to sit down. I'm going to talk to some person, even if I talk to my mother, if I talk to a friend of mine. But you have to have someone, you have to have some way, not just some way, but a positive way. Because we know at this point in time, we can have persons turning alcoholic with all that is going on. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Reverend Oral. Yeah, it wasn't trained under you, but take a still go.